Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV. Liverpool taking on Southampton, St Mary's at the weekend. We're here to preview it because that's what we do. Chris Pajak joins me, as does Ross Chanley and Tom Dutton as well. Spruced himself up for this one.
Not really. We're all black.
This is who you are. People can criticise you all they want, Tom, but you know what? They're idiots. Idiots.
Yeah.
What do you think? Chris, we're back into that stretch of games now where it's very hard to get individually enthused about the kind of run of games we're on, but then, you know, that's kind of where Liverpool's season has gone. What will be interesting about this game? Virgil van Dijk, the last time the two teams met was playing for Southampton. He's at us now. Undoubtedly, everyone's going to be ready. The press are going to be ready. Sky or whoever are going to be ready with all the packages lined up for Virgil van Dijk, whether it goes good or bad. And they're going to be praying that it goes bad. So
Klopp's not going to start him. Klopp's won't pop in, you know what I mean? And I think he's the type of person that'll be knocking on Klopp's door this week going, make sure you play me. Make sure I'm in the start 11 for this one, because I've got a few things to prove to these fellas, because they've said some bad words about me since I've left and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of Southampton fans have talked about the fee, and the fee's ridiculous and it doesn't matter. But as I believe, Virgil van Dijk will become a key part of this Liverpool side moving forwards. So the fee's almost irrelevant. You've sorted the problem out. We'll see that from him. I'm thinking he's going to score one anyway. He's come so close in the last few weeks since that Everton one, where he's come from corners and stuff like that. But it's his all-round play. He just looks so calm. He just looks so much better than what I've seen at Liverpool for the last 5 years. And I don't even think he's in form at the moment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Completely agree with that. I think there's a real good shelf for him to score the goal and then get a pick up a booking for whipping the shirt off and flexing with JC written in, daubed in paint on his chest on either peck.
Okay.
So the Carragher can go, oh, yeah. No, he's
fine. You want to get a bet on Liverpool?
Yeah.
Where would you do that?
What will Chris do? Will Chris add that and check out the starting 11 prediction show? Maybe that'll be in. Spoilers, it won't be, but you will be picking his first goal scorer and the starting 11 as well. Did you got right last week?
No.
Did you not? Oh, no, you got the rumoured team correct.
It's good, though, isn't it?
There was like a 5 minute spell of being like, yes, nailed on at the screen grab at the ready, and then it's like, oh no, it's not that team. we do feel for you. Look, Ross, the thing is, like, Virgil van Dijk's not the only one in that regard. Adam Lallana's going to be strangling a throat ready to get into this game as well. Look, this is what happens when you've got a lot of Southampton players in your team. The issue I think
Kleine returns for this one as well, you know.
Absolutely.
Get him in there.
I'm a bit concerned that, and maybe there'll be examples of this that I'm not remembering, but I don't think our players tend to perform well. You know, the ex-Southampton players don't perform great in this match. It'd be lovely if this was the one where they did, because I think there might be a nice perfect storm of circumstance in that regard. Adam Lallana's got a little bit of something to prove after he's getting sent off for the unders. If he gets a knock, similarly Virgil van Dijk's got, as I say, got a few people looking out for him. This would be a great time for them to actually turn it on big time.
Yeah, you've got Sadio Mane and Dejan Lovren in there as well to put into the mix. I think any time you go back to your old club, you're always going to prove a point, regardless of fee or what they think of you. You just want to go, I've moved on, I've stepped up.
Yeah.
This is me now. And particularly after the last game, I thought Lovren played really well, especially with Virgil van Dijk, maybe going into the Southampton, go, you know, here's what you could have won.
Here's what you sold for exorbitant
loads of money. And bought no one with. Similarly, Sadio Mane's got a point to prove regardless whether it's Southampton or not. You know, I think he's been playing all right, but he just needs a couple of goals. And I think he'll just carry on the way he was last season.
Yeah, and I think it's telling, isn't it, Tom, the Klopp loves putting people into high-pressure situations. Loves it. Absolutely loves it.
You've got to show them what they've been missing. And I mean,
I know they can go, oh, we got the fear and that's fine, but you've got to go, there's a reason we wanted these players.
Isn't this a bit like stealing someone's bird and then going round to their birthday party and necking with them when they're cutting the cake or something? Like, is this a bit? I mean, I'm not saying I'm not cool with that. You know, if Liverpool want to take that approach,
you've been watching that Dele Alli video this week.
But yeah, this is the thing, isn't it? You're right. You're right to some extent. They do have to kind of go and stick two fingers up to themselves because they're going to get. An absolute, yeah. It's going to be a hell of a time for them. They're going to get dogs abuse from minute one to minute.
It's 19. One of them where they're in the best positions to kind of do that. If Virgil van Dijk plays, every corner goes to him. Mane's going to get the ball constantly. If Lallana plays, he's integral to this. So it's not like they're not going to have opportunities to stand up and make sure that they're countered. And I'm just looking forward, regardless, I'm looking forward to us smashing them because they've not been that good this season. I know they got a draw with Spurs, which was pretty good, and But the form.
Do you know what it is, Paul? Right, it's the fact that the way that a few of these players left that club. You know what I mean? Fact that Virgil van Dijk went missing for them, the fact that Dejan Lovren obviously handed in a transfer request or whatever it was. That's what's pissed Southampton fans off. And to be quite brutally honest with you, it pissed me off as well. But equally, begrudgingly, I've looked at Suarez and I've looked at Alonso and I've looked at their careers and gone. Yeah, you went and you won trophies. Fair play to you. Now, all the lads playing for us haven't won trophies yet, but tell you what, we're not a couple of points above the relegation zone. Yeah. We're in the top four. So these lads are justified right now in making the decision that they made. Because quite frankly, we're a better football club than them. We're better players and we'll always be that way. Mm-hmm. And they've made the right choice for their careers.
Oh, no, absolutely. Completely agree. You're right. And this is the point we make about Liverpool as well, that pressure comes with being a Liverpool player. And I have been disappointed at Dejan Lovren. I've seen his head fell off a couple of seasons ago, big time in this game, didn't it? You know, and did he get subbed off? Or was the other way around? But he was terrible, you know, and we know that can happen. I've actually got no idea how Oxlade-Chamberlain's performed in these games in the past, because obviously, you know, it's a long time removed from his Southampton days, but, you know, he's played a lot for Arsenal, he will a couple of games. In fact, if anyone's watching who knows and has any idea of how well the Ox has performed in these games, it'd be interesting to know in that regard, because we could put a solid ex Southampton five-a-side team out if we really want.
I think better than this.
It's a big chance for Oxlade-Chamberlain as well because he hasn't performed in these games. The ones where, because I'm guessing Southampton are going to be quite low blocks, a low block side, and he just hasn't really performed in them games where it's you've got a lot of the ball, you've got a lot of possession, and if he plays, I think I want to see him step up and really show that he can do it and make a name for himself ahead of Lallana.
It's interesting. He's an interesting one because we saw him used as he came on as a replacement for the winger last week. We know he was starting to get games in midfield, but we've also talked about this notion that if you put him in the team from the start in midfield, you cost yourself a lot off the bench as well in terms of the pace of stuff. But equally, I mean, I don't know. I guess the solid approach with the Champions League looming is that we have to put our best foot forward in this. We have to look to get this game done as early as possible. I don't know.
Yeah, it's always the way, isn't it? I mean, you want to be able to make a substitute on 60 minutes or something because you're a few goals up. Football doesn't really work like that. And it doesn't really work like that in the Premier League very often either. And I think you're right, you do need to keep something back. But we'll come on to the preferred 11s later. I've got a little bit of a different way of looking at it. I disagree with Tom about him not performing in these type of games. I think we've seen in both Everton games him perform very well from a central midfield position. Now, we didn't go on and win the game, so maybe you're right on that one, mate. But, you know, I thought he was really good against, particularly in the December one, I think it was, where I just thought he was outstanding. The thing for me with Ox at the moment is I think he's just a little off the boil. The last sort of 3 weeks, you know, since we had that little poor week where we lost twice, doesn't seem like he's recovered yet. You know, he came on and I thought he was quite frankly poor against Tottenham, and probably wouldn't be in line for a start if it wasn't for the Champions League and the fact that he's had a couple of games rest more than everybody else.
It is an interesting one. Like I say, it goes without saying, everyone just needs to step up for this because we're going to come and look at it again later on the show. We'll look at what the other teams are doing. But this is, you know, we've gotten through the tough games now. We've only got two more tough, you know, I mean, and two more plus Everton, depending on, you never know how that game's going to go, Goodison. But it's a series of winnable fixtures. it's all for nothing if you don't turn it on. We're sitting pretty. We did a big bit on this on the podcast this week, Chris, about how the league table starting to look really good.
That's lovely.
And the league table could continue to look very good because of Spurs and Arsenal going head to head. So, you know, there can be no excuses on this. One thing it's guaranteed to happen from this game, though, Chris. This is one of the two games of the season where Oriel Romeo looks like the world's
absolutely
best DM.
Every time I've seen him, he's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Pisses me right off. And you speak to other fans of other clubs and like, ew, I'm like, yeah, he's boss. Dominates. Sits there in front of the back four like a fucking crab stopping the ball going past. Shit every other weekend.
They've got some boss players. I mean, I had a look at the squad before. The three that stick out, James Ward-Prowse's deliveries are going to be unbelievable. I really highly rate Tadic.
Yeah.
Really rate him. And just Shane Long just seems to pull something out.
Against us.
Yeah, he's another one who, I mean, I don't know if he did it last time, but there was that.
He hadn't scored a goal in a year or something by the time we faced him last time. I actually don't know whether he scored. Charlie Austin's their top goal scorer at the moment in the league with six.
Yeah.
They don't score goals, which is an encouraging thing. We kind of had this conversation around Huddersfield the other week. Ross, I think they've got, in fact, I've got it written here, why I paraphrase. They've got only scored 28 and 26 league games so far, but conceded 38. So it's not great. They're not a terrific threat, but look, we have to be wary. Swansea's
been decent recently.
Yeah, exactly. I think they only lost one game in 2018. They're drawing a lot, and out of the three wins, they've picked up two of them within the FA Cup. So there's, you know, they've not been great, but they have kind of stemmed the bleeding a bit. But as we said, they're 2 points above the relegation zone. We were sat here 2.5 weeks ago, or whatever, talking about the Swansea game. And saying as well, you know, this should be okay. They'll play football. They've got a bit of football in their DNA, so they'll have a go, etc., etc. I think Tom's kind of right. You might see them take up that template in this game, and that's going to be it's going to be one of them tests. My hope is, like Swansea was meant to be, but wasn't. But like Huddersfield ended up being, it's a game where you're playing out. Then if they don't play to the strengths, then there's a real opportunity for us to capitalise on it, because it won't be a solid defensive line as a team that's totally versed in it.
Yeah, I think the saving grace for me from the Swansea game is Liverpool learn from it, and they showed that against Huddersfield. Exactly what you just said, you know, make them play how you want them to, and then just take over.
Yeah, there's something to be said, isn't it? Because I think you could look at it and go, well, we got a slice of luck with Emre Can's goal, but it was the directness with which we approached it. You know, you had to take that shot in order for it, and that was the difference between the Swansea game. There wasn't enough bravery and there wasn't enough intelligent direct play.
No, I think we were too predictable as well, because it was all narrowed down the middle and we were trying to go around and we couldn't even go in a wide. The delivery wasn't great. Yeah. And then that's what I'm saying, you learn from that. Huddersfield, or we'll just play long balls over the top, or we'll get out wide and just mix it up. So that makes us unpredictable for low block sides now, I think. Just go, well, you can't sit back and defend. And it is hard to do that. Swansea showed that. And then Huddersfield tried to do the same thing. They didn't come out and do anything. But then Southampton are desperate for points as well, so they've got to try and, you know, at least go for a draw. Can't sit back and do nothing for 90 minutes.
Yeah. They have done against us, and listen, they might be a footballing side at their core, but I think before the last victory, you know, we beat them 3-0, didn't we? I'm sure we didn't score a goal against them in four games, you know what I mean? And they are very used.
Well, yeah,
they are very used to sitting in against us, and they've had success on the break and stuff. So, listen, they got tongued last time out. They'll go back to that. You know, Tom's exactly right. I think they'll go back to that. They are good at it because they've got good players.
Yeah.
They're having a down season, and I think they'll be lucky to survive this season, to be honest. And it feels like the end of Southampton's run. They've had a good few years and a great crop of youngsters just seem to be coming through over and over. Feels like the end of that now.
Yeah.
And I'd really like to put them to sleep.
Yeah, there's an interesting point. You see West Brom have slipped big time, haven't they? And, you know, it's so tight down the bottom. It goes both ways, doesn't it? Much like the Swansea one. Again, we looked at it and thought there was a good, it's a bit of a free hit. You might get a similar thing to we saw with the West Brom Cup game, where they might think, oh, go on, we can go and do our thing, or they stick to a game plan. So not an easy one by any stretch. We're going to get a bit of an answer to this. I guess in people preferred 11th, but it was interesting that we played Coutinho in the midfield at Anfield for this game with the standard front three, as it was. And it makes you wonder whether, I mean, we'll get into the specifics of the nuts and bolts of who we think in a minute, but I mean, Tom, for you, is that, do we stick with a more, I guess we've called it like a more agricultural midfield, but it's not, you know, a bit more of a robust midfield, or do we follow the template that we set out earlier in the season? Do you try to get some more creativity further down the pitch?
It's weird. I want to see like we did with Huddersfield. I want to see us overlap. I want to see Henderson making that run on the wings. I want to see us overloading as much as possible and spreading it as much as possible. So I think it is agricultural, but it's not. I mean, I've got Oxlade-Chamberlain and Milner in my preferred, just because I think Milner's so intelligent at them runs, and I think Oxlade-Chamberlain's quite good on the edge and stuff. So it's hard because we don't have that player who can just rocket a shot in, really. I mean, Emre Can can, but not, he doesn't create his own space and then do it like Phil did. And I wonder, I'm interested to see how we're going to change our ways. I know we have done, but I want to see what Klopp can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. We'll come on to that in a moment. Before we do, Chris has done another phenomenal stats and tactics show over on the RedmenTV.com. If you're interested into the more in-depth stuff around Liverpool, not just us sat around with, you know, sex euphemisms talking about the Mighty Reds, then go and have a little look at this show and see what he's up to.
The blue indicates that Tottenham have won that. The green indicates that Liverpool have won that. You could see there's only four greens on that page. First half, let's take a look at it. We were fine. We were controlling the game much better. We were having more shots than them, ultimately. You know, it was very much a game plan for Liverpool to sit back, let Tottenham have the ball, hit them on the counter-attack. And I think it was a very clever game plan because we'd have been susceptible to something similar from Tottenham. So we let them have the ball. You also get the crowd involved. As soon as any team has the ball at Anfield, the crowd does get involved. And you could hear that. And I think for me, it was around when Ben Davies made a poor tackle on somebody, fouled somebody. And then the crowd got proper gnarly. I remember writing it down in my notes of the game. But we controlled the game very well. We limited their opportunities to just one shot on target. And we had two ourselves first half. Really impressive first half. What happened, though, look at that second half. The only ones that we tended to win were goalkeeper saves, offsides and yellow cards. And I think Tottenham really did control the game much better. Look, 72% possession compared to their 62% in the first half. And you could tell that Liverpool went into defensive mode. Liverpool went into, wow, we need to just stop them scoring a goal here. And that's what Liverpool did. And because of that, I think we tired. And because of that, our press was not getting there as often. And we weren't creating as many chances because we weren't in the wall back as high up the field as we were previously. And then we were relying on defenders and midfielders to try and pick through Tottenham's press. And they were a little bit fresher than us. And that's kind of how the game went. And you can tell all that just from the statistics, which I find really, really interesting. So Liverpool definitely tired in that game. It was a tough game for us. Ultimately, a game we probably should have won, although maybe not deserved to win if you look at it without the emotion.
Boss, if you want to get involved with that, go to redmentv.com. Try it free for a month, as well as a whole host of extra stuff, whether you're into the podcasting side of things or the video side of things. We've got every aspect of Liverpool FC covered at the moment. Perfect time to sign up. And you get that show every single week as well. Good work, Chris.
Thanks, man.
You're a wonderful man. Yeah. Okay, preferred 11s then. Tom, what have you got for us on the blackboard?
So I've gone, I know it is the worst board out of all of them, but I've gone for a really attacking side. I've gone Trent, Matip, Van Dijk and Robertson, and that's just because I think we're going to have so much. It depends if Gomez is fit. If Gomez is fit, get him in so we can switch to a back three to cover for the break, which I think was fantastic.
I could feel we saw something similar
to
that.
It was perfect. There was no problems when they were on the break because we had that three. But look, Trent, fine, it doesn't really matter. And then I think Matip's going to come in just because I like that ball straight to Bobby's feet. I think it bypasses so much. And I like that partnership, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And Henderson, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Milner, I mean, I kind of said what I thought before, and then the normal front three and just get goals.
So we the one of interest then, in fact, I'll come to you, let's just go through them chronologically, so to speak, or clockwise, early. Yeah. We've all gone for Trent. Is this just because you don't think Gomez is going to be available, or you think this is the game for Trent?
If he is available, I wouldn't put him in straight away, bearing in mind we're playing Porto next week and be a bit more defensive at an away fixture. That's the reason I put him in. I put Van Dijk and Lovren just because I thought they did so well at the weekend. And I know there's been loads of rotation, but I think you can get to a stage now where just try and keep most of it as much as you can and make one or two changes, bearing in mind you're playing in the week. Robertson on form again. This midfield, I think, has been the best midfield in the past couple of months.
Yeah,
I just love watching it at the minute, and any time we make a change, it doesn't seem to work. And then, like you said, if you get your result, take some of them off. Oxlade-Chamberlain, a bit of energy to come back on.
You know what, I really like that midfield, and I toyed with something similar. Chris, you've gone...
I've gone quite different to everybody else. I've gone, same reason for Tent is I think Gomez is more important for the Porto fixture. I've actually brought Moreno in. Now, a lot of my changes are down to the fact that I think we tired against Tottenham because we had so much work to do. And I think because it's such an important game midweek as well, I wanted to try and keep this side fresh, but also the side for Porto really fresh. So Robertson, for me, comes back in because he's the first choice left back. He comes back in the Porto game. Give Moreno this one because I think we'll need Robertson in midweek. I've gone...
Sorry on that. Any consideration to... Because Moreno was like... Well, I don't know if he still is, but he was certainly the top assister at one point in the Champions League. Any consideration to that he's made me better sorted?
No consideration whatsoever. And the reason I've gone for Lallana and Wijnaldum in the centre of the park here is just, again, to keep that freshness there. Again, I think we tired massively.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If it's not Lallana, if he's unavailable, then what I've done is I've put Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain on the wing because I think Mane or Salah needs a bit of a rest before Porto again. So we don't have that many options. I would like to see one of the front three rested, really.
Yeah.
And I think the safest bet is to rest Mane. Because, if we take Salah off, who's going to score goals?
No, it's a good, it's a good point. I think we're going to get this is a different type of test, isn't it, in that regard? Because we saw what we did when we rotated the cell, when we had two games a week throughout from September to December, and it was loads of changes, loads and loads. I think this is fascinating because I think... I wonder whether he feels we've got enough in the legs from the substitutions we've been making. We took Mane off last week. We've still been doing that. Mane's not been completing games still, but you're right. It's where you get. Where's Salah getting his rest from?
Exactly.
Where's Firmino getting his rest from?
I think
this
it is
might
telling.
Be a decent chance for
I think it is telling that Ox hasn't had a start in a couple of weeks. I do think he's definitely aligned for a start this weekend.
My thinking on it was as much again that I agree with the Trent stuff, and given the type of game again, I've got no problem with Trent playing in these type of games because again, if you're talking about a low block thing, yada yada yada. having someone who's just a bit better on the ball, puts a better delivery in, is going to help
you. It's the areas that he delivers from. We saw against Tottenham that he made a big change in the areas of delivery. I think against West Bromwich Albion or Swansea, loads of deep balls, loads of deep crosses. That's not what we want to see from Trent. We want to see him getting a little bit further forward and edge of the 18-yard box, then whipping them balls in. We only made 3 crosses against Tottenham, I think it was. We were talking 12 against West Brom, and all from deep, and that's where we struggled and why we didn't complete so many passes. So Trent's a great call and his delivery is great. I think he just needs to have a little bit more confidence to take that ball a little bit deeper before he crosses the ball.
Or moreover, what the choice of balls, because where he is great from the deep positions is actually through balls from that. The balls over the top were a really big threat, even in that Spurs game as well. But yeah, I went with Lallana for this and I kept Oxlade-Chamberlain out simply because I think we will keep that front three in every game possible between now and the end of the season. And again, if you need to keep things going, because this might be one of those games where we're 15 minutes to go and it's 0-0 and we're looking for something out of there that you want to be able to bring a bit of pace on. But equally, if you don't have to, it was a toss-up in mentality between what you want for an away European game. And again, having Oxlade-Chamberlain to start that game... And just his pace. Mm. I think having that pace frightens teams more in Europe than it does in the Premier League. And of course, he's got that extra European experience. He's probably the most European, in fact, he is, without a doubt, the most European experienced member of our squad, which is mad. Something in that regard. And I think the Lallana thing, as I said, he will be gagging to play this game. I think you can afford to carry a Lallana a little bit. You know, you can take him. I'm taking him off the 60. I don't think you're playing anyone in a key European away fixture that you're not guaranteeing's got 90 minutes in the legs, basically. So,
do you think there's a case for Ings to come in and play him alongside Salah as a two? Could maybe
we could go back to that 4-4-2. We talked about it. We played a lot of away games earlier in the season. We hit upon something, didn't we? With Mane playing left mid, Ox playing right mid, Salah
just
front
to give
with
just to give Bobby a rest, because I think he's played pretty nearly. He played so much football and he's so good at it. That's why he has. But look, Ings can do a job, and I'd love to see him get off.
This is the penalties of winning at the moment, though, isn't it? Is that every game matters?
Yeah.
You know, every game of footy between now and the end of the season is that there's no. I think between September and December, you can afford to say, all right, well, if we draw this Premier League game, we're largely fine because we haven't. I think that's a lot of the mentality behind why we've drawn so many games this season as well. You lose here. And you're just
fifth probably.
Well, exactly. You know, you're opening yourself up to just mounds of stress again, aren't you? Because all of a sudden you've got to then make. You can't then lose another Premier League game, etc., etc. I think we've got a little break coming up, haven't we? Because of the FA Cup, whether we just plough towards that as hard as we possibly can, and then see where we come out of it. Yeah. Interesting though, we kind of hinted at it before, just in terms of what everyone else is doing this weekend. Spurs hosting Arsenal on the early kickoff on the Saturday. That's massive. Draw all round.
Yeah.
I guess just to.
And Arsenal playing in Europa League this week?
Arsenal probably.
And then Tottenham Juve this week?
I don't know. No, next week. As in, they're not playing. There's no Champions League game. Hang on, what date is it? No, not as in the week we're filming or the week after?
As in the week of the few days after their game.
They'll have a...
The day after we play Porto.
So Tottenham have got Arsenal, then Juventus a few days later, and Arsenal may or may not have a... That's tasty for them. Are Spurs away or...?
Spurs are away at Juventus on the Tuesday.
And Arsenal away?
Arsenal, let me just see if where Arsenal come into this. My fixture's not good that far ahead, so I don't know.
Shit up.
Yeah,
Chelsea have got a tough fixture list coming up as well. They've got Barca, Man United, Man City, Barca.
Hello.
But yeah, City host Leicester, whatever. Man United away to Newcastle, whatever. They'll take 3 points there because Newcastle is shite.
Is Conte taking a knee, Paul? Oh, it's an American term.
It is an American term, but I don't get contextually.
Is he just like giving up?
Oh, right, Sam.
I think he wants to be sacked at this point.
I think
point.
He's seen the fixture list and gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sad.
Arsenal are away to Östersund on the
Thursday. Away? Where's that?
Brilliant.
Austria, yeah.
Sounds like Austria. It must be Austria.
Sounds like Austria. It must be Sweden. Chelsea, I've got West Brom at home on the Monday night. So again, West Brom are shite, aren't they? Apart from in the FA Cup.
Chelsea haven't performed against my thought was
I wouldn't be shocked to see something happen there. But I would, really. West Brom are bottom for a reason, because they're crap. But listen, if it turns up, it'll be all the sweeter. But again, this is one of those situations, isn't it, where we'll know what happens. One of Spurs or Arsenal, or both, will drop points, which is great. That'll give us a nice clear indication of where we kind of stand, I think. Yeah. I don't know, given the choice, I'd say draw's not an offering for that one. Do you give yourself the win?
Yeah,
Arsenal.
I don't mind.
Arsenal. I don't. Spurs cheated. Fuck them.
You want to see Spurs win?
Yeah.
And you want to see Arsenal?
Yeah. I think for me, I just want Arsenal to be out of it, like completely, just completely out of it, and then I'm trusting that Chelsea will fall off as well.
Okay.
And they'll just keep spinning, and then there's only four teams standing.
I like the idea of Arsenal having that new sign and optimism completely killed flat, because I remain convinced that it's not about the players, because they've had great players for 10 years. No. That, you know, hopefully it is all Wenger's fault, and that would be tremendous.
I just want Spurs to get the comeuppance, really do, and just give Arsenal a bit of hope, even though they're still crap. So they're like, oh, and then you can drop off later.
Yeah.
But give Spurs the little knockdown as well, because they got two.
Again, ultimately, Ross, that the draw, it would be ideal, because I just would like to see them both banter each other into the Europa League. You know, they're going, oh, we're above you, oh, mind the gap, oh, we're above you, mind the gap, hey, oh, 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 oh.
Putting the pressure on.
Oh, yeah, Europa League.
The NLD, when was that a thing?
What's the NLD?
It's the North London Derby. It's a fucking massive hashtag. What the fuck are these going on?
It does sound like okay, Hitler Youth Group, doesn't it?
Yeah. I see both sides of it, to be fair. I'd rather Spurs lost them with Tom on that one, just because I'm still pissed off from the weekend. Yeah. And the comments that came out this morning of Pochettino saying, no, it's tricking the referee, even. Bollocks. Now he said that, referee's going to be on, well, you think they'll be on the case looking out for them cheating.
Yeah, good. It is a bit of a win-win for us, really, isn't it? Provided Liverpool go and do the business, most important thing.
Well, even that, just whatever the result is, just kick the shit out of each other and get some injuries, and then both fall off.
Beautiful. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I like Ross.
Perfect. Tom, what's your score prediction?
I'm going to say 3-0. Another clean sheet, just batten.
Nice. Ross?
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-0 as well. I think we've got the advantage that Virgil van Dijk was there for 6 months under the new manager. He might know some ins and outs, styles of play, what the attackers like, and just abuse it.
Brilliant. I think tough game for Liverpool. I think 1-0, 2-0 maybe, something like that. I think there's a lot of tiredness in the legs. And there'll be a lot of focus on the midweek game as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Bit of a struggle.
I agree with that. I think I could see it being I could see a 2-1, honestly, but I'll take a 2-0. I'll go with that if I had to put my money on it. Like, you looked at that game at Anfield. It took us a while to break them down. We did, and then it was, you know, it was one second half goal that made it 3-0. It wasn't like we kicked up we didn't batter Southampton off the park at Anfield, even though, you know, the 3-0 is a nice result. You know, don't get me wrong, I think that would be the absolute ideal, to do a similar kind of thing where you're not expending too much energy. Yeah. You need that lead in the first half for this one. You know, there's two prime examples there. It's a Swansea and it's Huddersfield, and you're Jurgen Klopp and you're going into this game and you're going, be more Huddersfield. Don't do what you did against Swansea. So very interesting stuff. Let us know your score predictions in the comments below. Put your preferred 11s in there as well, if you'd be so kind. Don't forget to check back this week as well. Chris doing the Starting 11 prediction show, and as mentioned, the stat show is amazing. It's on the redmentv.com.
It's amazing,
and look, I keep saying this, you know, we do the lighthouse stuff, we have fun with what we do, But if you want some more in-depth content, if you want to work out what's going on, how the goals are being scored, how they're being conceded, really learn about how Liverpool are playing, then we've got you covered right now. So yeah, go over there, start your 3-month trial, and hopefully enjoy it and give us feedback on it as well, because it's always appreciated. But yeah, brilliant, gents, pleasure. Hopefully the game will be too. We'll be here, of course, covering the match post-match. Stay tuned for that. Drop a subscribe on the channel to make sure you're there with all the live stuff that we'll be doing around it. And other than that, have a great week, have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.